السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. The sound, I will put it back how it was. Amma ba'd, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. If one studies the Quran Sharif, then we will find that from the first para till the Amma para, there is no para wherein the Akhirat is not mentioned a few times, many times, different aspects of the Akhirat. And when we come to the Amma Para, then we find that every surah in the Amma Para talks about the Akhirat, some aspect of the Akhirat. The whole surah is just about the Akhirat. When we look at the ahadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then there too we find so many ahadith with regards to the signs of Qiyamah, what is going to happen, minor signs, major signs, Qiyamah day, how the trumpet going to be blown, what's the period of time between the blowing of the trumpet? After the trumpet is blown, what will happen? How people will enter into Jannah? How Allah Ta'ala protect us, people will be put into Jahannam? Then how believers will be taken out of Jahannam? The last person to be taken out. All this, what their title will be. Detailed explanation given, right? One incident, one day in the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where Huzur-e Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after Fajr namaz, he went onto the minbar and he addressed the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum till Zuhr. He broke for Zuhr. After Zuhr salah, he went back on the minbar, he addressed the Sahaba till Asr. He broke for Asr. After Asr, he went back on the minbar, he addressed the Sahaba radiallahu anhum till Maghrib. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they say that the people who had the strongest memories, they became the most knowledgeable in those aspects. Because the whole day, Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was explaining everything what's going to transpire, what is going to happen in the build up to Qiyamah. So this is something that has to be in a believer's mind all the time. That's why he's mentioned so much. So our attention mustn't be on this world. Right? Our attention must be on the Akhirat. If our attention goes on the Akhirat, then we won't keep worrying about building our world. Right? Because when we keep building our world, then we fall in love with this world. Then our hearts will become attached to the world. And we will stop striving for the Akhirat. Right? Sahaba radiallahu anhum, their striving was for the Akhirat. This is why it was so easy for Sahaba radiallahu anhum to take part in jihad. Because their life was for the hereafter, not for this world. Right? So many incidents. Now if you take the aspect of jihad, is such an important aspect in our deen, such an important aspect, that every aspect of jihad, people have compilations of 40 ahadith, right? 40 ahadith on this topic or that topic or that topic. I think in jihad, you will be able to compile 40 ahadith on horses. 40 ahadith on the virtue of the spear, the virtue of the arrow, Every aspect of jihad, you'll be able to compile so many ahadiths. The virtue of the shuhada, everything, so many things you'll be able to compile. Right? But today, this major aspect, jihad, is not found in majority of the ummah. We keep making excuses for ourselves. There are no, jihad is also jihad against the nafs, so we're making that jihad. Jihad is now going out in jamaat, so we're making that jihad. Jihad is studying the deen of Allah Ta'ala, we're making that jihad. Definitely, all those are also jihad. But they, when Quran Sharif is talking about jihad, Hadith Sharif is talking about jihad, what jihad is referring to? And if you look at the kuffar, you take this whole situation in Gaza. What's the deal breaker? No, Hamas must disarm. They must disarm. They must hand in their weapons. In other words, they must give up qital. They must give up jihad, be safe. They must give in their weapons. That's what the kuffar want. The mu'min, he must not take up arms. Right? So Sahaba Rinnanum, if you study the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, short 23 years, how many battles he took part in? Himself personally, at an old age. And Sahaba Rinnanum, how many battles he took part in? So it was very easy for them, because their situation was not Issaqaltum ilal ard. أَرَضِيْتُمْ بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا مِنَ الْآخِرَةِ That wasn't their situation. Their situation, they were not sticking to the earth. We're sticking to the earth. So that's why we can't make that mujahada, we can't make that jihad. Right? So, what we were talking about is that a mu'min, his focus is supposed to be the hereafter. And this week, somebody sent me one picture, you know, there's no people in the picture, but they drew the battlefield of Tabuk. Not Tabuk, Muta. The battlefield of Muta. And they got the Kuffar army 200,000. Right? There's no people, you can't see the people. It's like an aerial view, like if you have an aerial view of something, the picture is like that. So you got the 200,000 army here and 3,000 army there. Look at what it must have looked like at that time. Today's time, when you talk about jihad, right? So no, we're not ready right now. I mean, we still have to do a lot of preparations. And it's suicidal. You can't go up against that army there. You know, their weapons and everything. Why must you go put yourself into trouble when you know you can't fight those people? But why Sahaba Nawnum never think like that? Sahaba Nawnum didn't think like that. Right? Now all the laws of fiqh and everything, muftis will explain. But what I'm trying to get across to us is that Sahaba radiyallahu anhum, they were so attached to the akhirat that the dunya meant nothing to them. For them to just drop tools now and go in jihad immediately, right? It was nothing to them. They could go. Because they were not attached to their world. Right? So we have to keep the akhirat in front of us all the time in order to detach from the dunya and get attached to the hereafter, get attached to the akhirat. Right? Then we will carry out a'mal for our benefit mainly in the akhirat. It will benefit us in the dunya also. Allah Ta'ala says, we must make dua. Allah has taught us the dua. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ Right? So dunya will come. Whatever is decreed for us, it will come in the dunya. Right? But the main objective will be the hereafter. It will be the akhirat. Right? Now, one thing that will take place before Qiyamah will be the fitna of Dajjal. Right? You know, when you read about this fitna of Dajjal, so many things, there are so many lessons to take, so many warnings, so many things that we must be aware of and conscious of. Right? Today I was reading something about Dajjal. So it is mentioned in the hadith that when Dajjal will make his appearance, now I want you to listen very, very careful to this, right? When Dajjal will make his appearance, he will claim to be a prophet. Now you try to think to yourself, a person who is coming with music, a person who is coming with evils, right? Evils, different evils is coming with. The only thing that he is used as a draw card is wealth. That's his draw card, wealth, right? Your animals will come with the others will be fat, your meadows will be green, you'll have gold, you'll have money, you'll have, right? Only wealth. That's the carrot. That's the carrot that he will dangle. But other than that, he comes with only evil. Only fitna, only evil. Everything that he will promote and propagate is not in conformity with the deen of Allah Ta'ala. Understand this. Understand this point. Whatever he is going to do is not in conformity with the deen of Allah Ta'ala. So how is he going to claim to be a prophet? See, in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there were people who claimed to be Muslim, but in their heart they were kuffar. In their heart they were kuffar, but they claimed to be Muslim. What they classified as? Munafiqeen. Right. But the munafiq, in order for him not to blow his cover, he had to come for namaz. He had to come for namaz. If Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is having a program, he has to come. He'll come, he'll be talking with his friend. He's not really paying attention because he doesn't want to be there. Right? Allah Ta'ala speaks about all this in the Quran Kareem. Slowly, nobody's watching him, he'll slip away. He'll duck behind somebody else, slip away, go away. Because he doesn't really want to be there. He's just there now to show face. A clock card. So people must know I'm Muslim. So in order for him to keep his cover, he has to pretend to be a Muslim. Right? Why? Because Muslims read namaz. Muslims sit in the sohbat of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Muslims go out in jihad. So the munafiqs used to go in jihad also. But they'll pick and choose. So, you know, this jihad looks like an easy one. Lot of booty, right? Let's go. They don't look like a difficult one. Or we'll make one excuse. We'll stay behind. You know? But they had to go in order to not blow their cover. But this Dajjal, he will be doing evil. Right? All evil he'll be doing. How come he will be able to do evil and still claim to be a prophet? How come? I mean, his cover is blown, right? He's doing evil. How is he claimed to be a prophet? Right? And that's, it don't end there. After some time, he will claim to be Allah Ta'ala. Forget only claiming prophethood. He will even claim rububiyat. He'll claim that no, he is the Rabb. Right? So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this. Remain firm. Remain firm. Because you will only see your Rabb after you pass away. You can't see your Rabb in this world. So he's lying. So don't be fooled by him. Right? Nabi Sam didn't say all these words. Nabi Sam just said must remain firm because you will only see your Rabb after you pass it. So you can't see your Rabb in this world. And the second thing is that your Rabb got no defects. And this Dajjal, he will have a defected eye. Right? But the thing that I was pondering, that how is this fellow going to keep his cover as a prophet, and after that as a Lord, right? Despite doing evil. I mean, anybody will see this man is evil, right? And then Allah Ta'ala put this in my mind, right? But see, if you look at how things are going, then it's not far-fetched. Right? A pious woman, a lady who was a lady of piety, right? Going back in time now, maybe before you people, before the young people were born, right? Those that are young amongst us, before you were born. So the ladies of piety, they remain concealed. And that time there were no animas. There were no animas and all that. But they were just pious women. They had sharam haya. They remained concealed. Today, a woman of knowledge, who's supposed to be an alima, muallima, doing alimiyat cause and all that, right? Now the lady is even becoming muftiyas and everything, right? So, despite having all of that, she goes on the TV, right? Despite having all that, she's talking on a radio station. She's making a TikTok or an Instagram or whatever. Now, that which was evil today is normal. She can still keep her cover of an anima despite doing all this evil. She's still regarded as an anima despite her openly doing evil. Right? Now, if you take ulama, right, you turn the clock back 40 years, 30 years, right? An anim, when you said that this person is an anim, so now you knew, right, anim, okay, that's an anim now. He dressed in a certain way, he behaved in a certain way, right? The certain things he did, certain things, you would never find him in certain places. Slowly that changed. Slowly it changed. Right? Now, the anim also, he's doing certain things which are questionable. And then what we say, no, mustn't judge. Don't judge anybody. Don't judge. Right? You mustn't judge anyone. Right? So he must just do whatever he wants to do, whether he's intermingling, whether he's doing a photography, whether he's saying that riba is now permissible, whatever he's doing, you mustn't judge anybody. Nobody, you mustn't judge any individual. Mahazrat Maulana Ismail Sahab Rahmatullahi, he mentioned to me this in a letter, and I asked him certain question. So in a letter he replied. He said, hate the sin, not the sinner. In other words, the wrong is wrong. You can't make the wrong right. Yeah, the person, we're not judging no person. But the action is wrong. But today it is that no, you mustn't even talk bad about the action. Because then that means you are splitting the ummah. That means now you're pointing fingers at people. That means you're becoming judgmental. So you mustn't even talk about the action. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he stood on the minbar and he said that this Makhzumiya woman, her hand is going to be cut. Even if my own daughter, if she had to steal, her hand too would be cut. It was insaf. Whoever did the crime is the crime. You can't get away from the crime. So, now you come to a zamana, right? You come to an era where a person, he is in suit and tie, right? He's dressed like a non-Muslim. He doesn't have any beard. His pants is beneath his ankle. And he is an authority on deen. He is lecturing Islam in a university. Right? You get a person who is in the faculty of law. And he is advising his clients. He is advising his clients on Islamic jurisprudence. Right? You get a doctor, he's in the medical field. Right? But he is now giving advice on Islamic jurisprudence. Right? And all upside down. But they are regarded as authorities. Right? And then you get now, for example, the scholars that come from overseas, right? And maybe now we even got our own homegrown ones also, right? Now they will go and have a program in a mixed gathering. Right? Sometimes it's a man that's addressing a mixed gathering. Sometimes it's a lady, she came from America or she came from here and there, and she is addressing a mixed gathering. But it's fully booked. It's booked and you're paying to go there. Now you know this thing is wrong, according to Sharia, it's wrong. Right? What's being done here is haram. Right? But everybody still regards the person as an authority on deen. So when you look at what is happening, this, we don't have the time to unpack the whole thing, right? Our time is already up. But you are intelligent people. You can work this thing out in your head. That today a person can do whatever they want to do, right? They're still regarded as a scholar of deen, right? So, in 10 years' time, what we're going to see? There was a time when, as soon as a person became pious, like, you know, we can't claim piety. But what I mean is, like, people were very ignorant. Now, either ijtima time or something, they made his tashkil, he went away 4 months, jamaat or something, he came back. When he came back now, first thing, TV is out of the house. This TV is haram. This TV must be out of the house now. Right? Then from the dining room table, he went away on the dastarkhan. These were the immediate changes that took place. Right? He went, joined the khanqah, the same thing happened. His dressing changed, the dining room table went away, he came on the dastarkhan, the TV came out of the house. These were the immediate things that happened. Ask your old people, they will tell you. Right? That this is what used to happen. And now, today's zamana, the Maulana can be the actor on the TV. The same thing what was regarded as haram, taboo, evil, it was called the Dajjal box. It was called the Shaitan in the house. Right? So when a person joined the Jamaat, no, the TV has to go. Because Shaitan must go now. I joined the Jamaat now, the Shaitan has to go. I joined the Khanqah, the Shaitan must go, so the TV must come out. Right? That's a Modi Saab's house. You'll never find a TV in the Modi Saab's house. Right? But today, the Modi Saab can be the actor on the TV. Right? And he's still regarded as the Maulana. So Dajjal will come and he will carry out the evils and his claim of prophethood, people will still believe. His claim of prophethood will still be believed. And then he will then even claim to be the Rabb. And people will still believe. So from there we learn how important it is to hold fast, fast, very, very fast to the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the lives of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, and the lives of our pious predecessors. Don't move 1 inch from there. Somebody sent one another picture. So they got there. Islam. Islam. And only one person is walking there. No faces, figures, no. Just like a silhouette, what you call it? Silhouette, what? Silhouette. So one silhouette. One person going. And other side, modern Islam. So modern Islam, everything goes. Music, TV, intermingling, bepardagi, everything. There everything goes. Right? And there, droves of people are walking. Droves of people are walking. So if we want to protect our iman, we want to remain safe from the fitnas of Dajjal and the build up to Dajjal, we have to hold on. Addu alayha bin nawajir. Hold on to the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the sunnah of the Khulafa'i Rashideen. Hold on like how you hold on to something with your canines. Like that, hold on. Don't move. One inch, don't move. One more thing I want to tell you. Make me mad. Take one more minute of your time. When Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum heard of that young man who will confront Dajjal, I'm not going, you all know the incident, I'm not going into the details, there's no time. And Dajjal will cut him in half. And after that, he'll come back to life. And then he'll ask him, now you believe I'm Dajjal? He'll say, now I'm 100% convinced you are Dajjal. Dajjal will try to kill him again, but now Allah Ta'ala will put copper over his neck and Dajjal won't be able to kill him. Right? But Dajjal will throw him into what he will call Jahannam, but that will actually be Jannat. And that will be the greatest shaheed. Greatest shaheed that will be, right? Sahaba radiyallahu anhum, when they heard this, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained this, they said, this person can only be Umar radiyallahu anhum. Now, I'm not going into the virtues of Umar radiyallahu anhum. The reason why this thing hit me is because, how long does insan live? 60, 70, 80. So Sahaba radiyallahu anhum, how close did they consider Qiyamah is going to take place? You see how close they were to the Akhirat. That they, in their mind, this is going to happen in our lifetime. This is going to happen now because Umar is going to be that man. It's only when Umar non passed away, then they said, no, we realize it's not Umar non, this is going to be somebody else. But the point here is how close they were to the Akhirat. That is happening now. And we, door ki baat, something that will happen, we don't know now. No, we have to live the Akhirat now. That is what will be the alignment of our life. The alignment of our life is to have the focus on the Akhirat. That Akhirat is happening now. That is the alignment of our life. Allah Ta'ala give me tawfiq, give you tawfiq, grant the entire ummah tawfiq. Akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillah.